Welcome to another broadcast of Celebrating Truth with Dr. E. Fay Williams, Esquire, on the Artist First Radio Network. Dr. Williams currently serves as National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women and President of Natural Health Options. All past shows can be downloaded free on demand. Visit the archives for Dr. Williams and Celebrating Truth at artistfirst.com. And now, here's your host, Dr. Williams.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Celebrating Truth. Dr. Williams is away from the desk today, and this is Ted Terry in the name of Dr. E. Fay Williams, and I want to welcome each and every one of you to the program. The program is called Celebrating Truth. And Dr. Williams always say, we like to bring truth to the table. And that's exactly what she does. And what we'll try to do today is continue in the name of Dr. E. Fay Williams and give you a program worthy of the airways. Celebrating Truth is brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. Now, if you don't know who that is, that's an organization, very progressive organization. The chair is Dr. E. Fay Williams. And later on in the program, I'll give you some of the chapters if you'd like to become a member of the National Congress of Black Women, chapters all throughout the United States. The website is www.nationalcongressbw.org. Visit the website, and if so inclined to browse around, and if you feel, you know, like you want to make a donation to the National Congress, they're a nonprofit organization, by all means, do so. They have some interesting programs that you might care to participate in, like College for Kids, College for Teens, and, you know, it's an important thing to be a part of an organization that is growing throughout this country, making a difference among people, and I happen to give that a thumbs up myself. Also, the National Congress is brought to you by Natural Health Options. This is a kind of a health-oriented website that deals with products like the Carver. You've heard of George Washington Carver. Well, George Washington Carver has a rubbing oil, and it's from the peanut. You know, George Washington Carver was very, very instrumental in, I think, 400 patents and products that came from the peanut. So for me to say what I know about it, not very much, but I know that the rubbing oil does work for me. So visit the website for Natural Health Options. That's naturalhealthoptions.com. Okay? We have an interesting show today for you, and we thought we'd bring in a gunslinger, a business gunslinger. Corporations across the country are sought after this young lady. They bring her in to help with their business, employee relations, you know, and with the job markets in a state of flux, the topic is so apropos now, and if you ever get a job, you might want to learn how to keep it. So I thought I'd ask a good friend of mine, Angela Huffman, who's no stranger to Celebrating Truth, to come on the program and have a dialogue with us for an hour. We'll be playing some interesting clips from some of her presentations that she does across the country. Angela, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ted.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear you here. Oh, there you are.
Yes, I am. Yes. I am.
Okay, good. So, Angela started out, you know, in corporate America. I do believe you started out years ago with American Express.
Yes.
Long time ago. beg your pardon?
A long time ago, yes. I started with American Express. Extremely great organization to work for. And they got a lot of my corporate experience and my topic knowledge based on that, on those years that I was there at Amex.
So that kind of rooted your feet into the path that you've taken. As far as how would you describe your business relations with corporate America?
How would I explain my business relations with corporate America?
Yeah, what you do, yeah.
Well, what I do primarily is try to help managers become better leaders. That's my charge. And also try to make employees to be better employees. I'm trying to build the relationships between the manager and the employees so that employees are not dreading to go to work, and employees and the managers aren't dreading to have the employees when they come to work. Trying to help those build those relations, make them a lot better.
So where do you see business today as it relates to employees? There are a number of layoffs going on every day, downsizing of corporate America. Is this a trend that is going to continually happen due to jobs being exported overseas?
Well, right now, there's a lot of changes happening. There's a lot of frustration from the employees, which is why we have right now going on Occupy. The Occupy protest is based on a lot of the frustrations that employees are having with the different corporations. And as far as layoff goes, I think that that's a trend that's probably going to continue. However, I do believe that there are a lot of corporations that are starting to see and trying to find new ways to cut costs before straight going to layoffs. So I think some companies are getting the idea that maybe we can start looking some other ways to save expenses instead of just laying the employees off. And so that is also why a lot of companies are, they're not hiring as much as they were. And part of that is because they want to maintain a static level of employees so that they're not hiring huge numbers and laying off huge numbers. They're pretty much trying to keep those hiring numbers to a small level, and that actually prevents them having as many layoffs in the future. So there's some good and some bad towards what's happening right now.
So your forecast for America as relates to jobs in the next 2 years, how do you see that?
The forecast.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but
you are. I think this is a question for Obama. I think that my take is that I think that we're going to see probably some improvement in from what we've been seeing recently, but not to the level of growth that what most people would like to see. I think there are some improvements happening. I think the growth market is increasing, but it's just not at a fast level, a fast pace. I think we're going to have to still continue to have a little bit more patience with the process.
Patience?
Yes, unfortunately, which is hard to do, I understand. But, yeah, it's not going to be as fast as we would like to see it.
So some of the markets where people are trying to find jobs in, what's the hardest area of jobs? Yeah, I guess the word. What's the hardest area to try to get a job in these days?
The hardest area right now is probably corporate America. I think that we're seeing a lot of growth still continuing in the health market sector, and there's still a lot of growth happening in oil and gas. Anything dealing with environment right now, because a lot of companies are trying to become more green, those jobs are increasing right now. But unfortunately, in just corporate America, when you're dealing with day-to-day business and product building and you're dealing with customer demand and supply, those are the jobs right now that it just are not in huge supply, unfortunately.
Unfortunately?
That's primarily the areas most people work in, is in general supply and demand type companies. So, yeah, unfortunately, yeah, that's not the area that's building as quickly as we'd like to see it.
So if those out there looking for jobs and happen to get one, how difficult is it to keep it?
Keeping a job. Well, I think when you want to keep a job, one thing you want to do is you want to be at your best. Don't get comfortable. Once you get in that job and you start working there for a while and the paychecks are coming and now you're feeling a little bit more relaxed when it comes to paying the bills, things like that, don't get comfortable. Don't get complacent at that job. Make sure that you're always at your best and try to stave off any of the things that happen sometimes when we get a job. We start going in late. We start showing up late. We start leaving early. We start making excuses why we can't come to work and all those kind of things. You want to be your top because you are still competing for that job even after you get it, because if any layoffs happen, you don't want to be the one that's saying, well, you know what, we have this one person who's not here very much. And when they are here, they're kind of sluggish at work. They're not producing. You don't want to be in that category. You want to be the one they say, if anybody leaves, we want to keep this person. That's who you want to be.
So I happen to know that you go across the country and speaking to corporate America, corporations and managers and even the employees about the type of employee to be or the type of manager they should be. And I have put together, for the first part of the program, the snippets as it relates to types of employees. And let's look at three types of employees. And let's start off with Janet. Roll it, Corey.
Hi, my name is Janet. I've been working here about 5 years, and it's an okay job. It's a paycheck. But usually when I get here in the morning, I can't wait to go home, and I don't do overtime. But I wasn't always like this. When I started here, I was really motivated. But you know, the job just got boring. I mean, I've been doing the same thing, same task over and over again since I got here. I used to ask my boss for new things to do or new projects, but he never gave me anything interesting to do. I mean, he doesn't even know I am the PowerPoint expert at my church. But anyway, so here I am. If I don't get a job working somewhere else, I'll probably still be here doing the same thing over and over for the next 10 years.
Angela, is Janet atypical?
Janet is very typical of what we call the non-engaged employee. She's somebody who's been in the corporation for a while. She's been in the same job. She's been doing the same tasks. It's become very routine. She could probably do most of her tasks in her sleep. And she's gotten bored, and she hasn't promoted within that organization. So she's basically a stagnant employee, what we call a non-engaged employee, and she represents about 56% of the American workforce are what we consider non-engaged employees.
What?
Yes. So she's very typical.
Okay. So in other words, she's a lackluster with a lackluster attitude.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's try another one.
Okay.
Listen to what Rhonda has to say.
Okay. Hi. My name is Rhonda. I hate it here. I don't even know how long I've been working here. The other employees are always talking about me. They just don't like my personal style. They're always talking to my boss about me, and he listens, too, to everything they say. That's why I stopped working hard. To tell you the truth, I spend most of my time surfing the internet. I like to keep up with my entertainment news. But anyway, as long as they keep paying me, I'm not going anywhere.
That is so funny. Rhonda hates her job.
Yes.
I mean,
definitely.
Absolutely hates it. She's still there.
Yes. She's not going anywhere until they make her. She's what, and I should say for people listening, this comes from one of my mini trainings videos that I have on YouTube, and this is an example of the three different types of employees. And this one, Rhonda represents what we call the actively disengaged employee.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 29% of our workforce is what we call actively disengaged. They are the people who are very vocal about the problems that they see within the organization. They're not happy there. And they make it very much known to anyone who will listen that they're not happy. And this is the kind of person that, as a manager, you really have to deal with. You really cannot allow this person to continue to go on because they can contaminate and the other employees in the organization. They can just make it a very poisonous environment. So you want to make sure you deal with an employee like Rhonda so that she doesn't affect your whole organization. And the goal, hopefully, and the reason why I brought these three employees out is so that you can identify them. You can start to see and start dealing with them before it gets to the point that Rhonda's level of unhappiness in the organization.
Is it like one rotten apple will spoil
absolutely
the whole barrel?
Absolutely. That's very true.
And by the way, we did put up three of your videos up at the National Congress
oh, okay.
of Black Women. That's nationalcongressbw.org/Angela.ASPX. That's ASPX. So that you will be able to see Angela Huffman on video with the three types of employees and others that we put there for you to see. Now let's go to Paula. Now Paula is the motivated one. Roll it, Corey.
Oh, hi. I'm Paula. I'm a new employee here. I am so excited to be here. I have already talked to my boss about what I can do to make the company grow. My expertise is analyzing data, and as you can see, I've already finished my first project, and I'm working on my second. I really see a promising future here. I hope to be here a long time. Oh well, gotta get back to work. Bye.
Now, Angela is, Paula.
Paula.
Now, uh-huh. What is it about Paula? She's motivated.
She's excited. She's motivated. She's enthusiastic.
And
she's a new employee.
And getting on everybody's nerves.
No, she's the one you want.
No, I know. I know that. But the other employees might say, oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes, because Paula's a new employee, so she's excited. And the truth is, and I tell a lot of managers that when you look at your workforce and you see the people who are like Janet, the non-engaged employees, or you see people like Rhonda, who are the actively disengaged employees, you begin to forget that most of them started off like Paula. They all started off most of the time excited about working there. They most of the time started off motivated and happy to work, excited about the job, but over time they become less motivated, less productive, and so they start developing these problems. So what you want to do is when you have a person who's excited, you want to continue to encourage that person. And usually what we do is we give what we call a squeaky wheel, the grease gets the grease. And so the people who are like Rhonda and like Janet, they get more of the manager's attention because they're not doing their work on time, they're missing deadlines. But those employees who you can give an assignment to and you don't have to worry about whether or not they're going to finish on time and they do a great job, we usually leave those people alone. Well, sometimes those are people you need to continue to encourage so that they don't, their motivation doesn't begin to wane. And I gave that example of Paula because that's how you want your employees to be. If you had a whole group of people who were like Paula, you would have very few problems within your organization because everyone would be doing their work and you would have any problem with missed deadlines or inaccuracies or anything. So you want to continue to encourage those employees and give them the support they need so they can stay that way over time.
And that's where the managers come in to motivate mm-hmm. and make sure that people are happy.
Right.
And we'll talk about managers and we'll talk mm-hmm. about how coworkers can, you know, effectively communicate with their managers in a few moments. Now, folks, I want to let you know that you're listening to the National Congress of Black Women's program called Celebrating Truth on the Artist First Radio Network. This is Ted Terry in the name of Dr. Ife Williams. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is Timothy Smith, producer of the highly acclaimed documentary, The Cotton Picking Truth, Still on the Plantation. It's available now on DVD at thecottonpickingtruth.com. That's thecottonpickingtruth.com. The film is about Mae Louise Miller, a former slave until the early 1960s. But it also uncovers a deep, dark secret about the United States today, present-day slavery, or some may call it involuntary servitude. So please pick up your DVD today or stream it live on your laptop or PC at thecottonpickingtruth.com. That's the DVD, a documentary, The Cotton Picking Truth, Still on the Plantation. Available now at thecottonpickingtruth.com. That's thecottonpickingtruth.com.
If you're an African American man, you need to know about oral cancer. Oral cancer is more common in African-American men than in any other group in the U.S. If you have a sore or lump in your mouth that doesn't go away after 2 weeks, see a doctor or a dentist. Most often, these symptoms don't mean cancer, but it's important to get them checked. If you do have oral cancer, it can be treated more successfully if it's caught early. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health.
Celebrating Truth with your host, Mr. Ted Terry.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. This is Ted Terry in the name of Dr. E. Faye Williams. Program is called Celebrating Truth. Now, you know that, and I must mention this, 2009, I believe it was, the National Congress of Black Women, with the help of chapters across the country, installed Sojourner Truth bust in the nation's capital, and I think that is a magnificent feat on their part, effort on their part to do that, and they did it. And if you don't shout it out to the mountaintops, no one would ever know it. But they did that, and they should have all the props in the world. The First Lady was there doing the installation, and she is a friend of the National Congress of Black Women, and the National Congress of Black Women welcomes you to be a part of the organization, as they sponsor this program called Celebrating Truth, so that you can hear the real story. So Dr. Williams is away from the desk. She's off doing some BP business, trying to get those people down in Louisiana, get their money, which, of course, they have not gotten paid by British Petroleum Company since that big oil spill that happened some years ago, which I think is probably about time for them to start paying off those claims. Don't you agree? My guest is Angela Huffman, and Angela is based out of Texas. Angela is a gunslinger. I call her a gunslinger. She goes off to corporations, and she kind of helps them keep their feet planted on solid ground in efforts to, deal with employee relations and manager relations. What part of if I had a 50% on either side, which side of the equation do you fall, manager or employee relations, Angela?
I would probably say more management relations. I think a lot of problems can be solved from the management side. I think a lot of managers have to be a little bit more proactive, but I think that they could actually take more hands-on role, and they can solve a lot of problems within the organization.
Okay, so you sit down with the managers, or you deal in a group setting in the corporate structure?
Primarily, I do, when I speak to a group, I'm speaking at exactly that, to a group of management, supervisors, executive leadership of an organization. But I also can and do consult with organizations as well to help them set up processes that will make their management more effective within the organization.
What about small business, the entrepreneur who is not equipped like the big companies are, but they do have the ability to put in place a functional human relations division?
Well, Ted, that is really where I started. When I first started doing my business and doing consulting, I started off working with small and mid-sized companies between $3 million to about $60 million, what we call middle market companies, and oh my goodness, they need a lot of help, and because they are generally running with less resources than they need because of costs and things like that. And so yes, I do truly help those people because they need it. They know they need it. It's not like a corporation that can go on for years before they realize, oh, hey, wait, we need some help. with a company, a small business, they know right away they need some assistance.
Let me ask you about how they can contact you. Let's put that out there so that someone can benefit from your expertise. Your website is Angela Huffman. Is that right?
Biz. Biz, exactly.
And they can contact you at Angela H at
it's Shuffins is what we, you could pronounce it as, Shuffins.com, which is S, like Sam, H-U-F-F, that's for Huffman, H-U-F-F, and then E-N-T.com.
Oh, S-Huff-Int.
Yes, exactly.
S-Huff-Int.com.
Yes, exactly.
That's kind of creative.
It is, yeah. Combination of things. But
so they can contact you via your email and also your website.
Yes, absolutely.
And you will come to them.
Be more than happy to, right.
Okay. Is there a telephone number or do you prefer email?
Yes. Well, they can find my telephone number on my website. They can also find it. They can easily find my information on the website. And it can be provided with Ife Williams on her website as well. That's fine. But, yes, there's a lot of ways to reach me.
Okay. Now, why should we like our coworkers? Angela, listen. I mean, I've worked in corporate America. Mm-hmm. And you can find some of the, what's the word I can say on radio that might pass muster? But, you understand where I'm going with this. Why should I like my coworker? You know, some people hate to go to work because I really don't want to talk to these people.
Right. Well, I tell people this all the time. You know, the people that you dedicated your life to, the people that you stood up in front of all your friends and family, and you said you vowed to spend the rest of your life with, well, the truth is you rarely see those people. The people you spend actually most of your life with are those people you work with at work. And so you really should like them. And we've spent very, very few hours, actually, of our day, our week, with our actual families. The majority of our time is spent at work with our coworkers, and so you should try and like these people. You have to work with them. You have to spend a lot of time with them, and it makes your life a lot easier if you like them. So it really is important for your own well-being and your stress level and your mental capacities to like the people you work with.
We have an audio file and doing your presentation. This is what Angela Huffman has to say about why you should like your coworker. Corey, roll the tape.
This is Angela Huffman with Straight Talk About Management. Today, I'm going to give you the reasons why you should like your coworkers. This program is not just for managers, but also for you to give and show your employees to explain why they should make an effort with their fellow coworkers. Do you know that you spend more time with your coworkers than you do with your own family? So you should try to like them. How much more pleasant would your job be if you actually liked the people that you worked with? And there's a lot of reasons why you should like your coworkers. First, a Gallup survey revealed that if you actually have a best friend at your office, you are more likely to have a better work performance, which means the quality of your work will be at a greater rate. Second, if you like your coworkers, you will enjoy your job better. Doesn't that make sense? Third, your ability to get along with your coworkers better will impress your boss so much that it will open you up to even greater possibilities of promotions, which means more money. And fourth, you are more likely to accomplish the goals you've set for yourself at that job. And fifth, you will experience less stress due to the fact that you are having less employee conflicts. See, these are just a few reasons of why you should make a greater effort to enjoy your coworkers and to get along with them.
Well, after listening to that, Angela, I kind of like my coworker now. just a little bit. So better work performance, increased job satisfaction.
Absolutely.
And there were some others I heard. More opportunities.
It's true. You're actually, what they found was Gallup poll found that when employees like their coworkers and got along with their coworkers better, they were considered by their managers as being more reliable and more having more of an ability to promote. So managers actually promoted the employees who took the time to like their coworkers at the job. So you might actually make more money as a result of liking your coworkers.
Okay. If you say so. If you say so. is it true that more women are being hired today than men?
Yes, That is true. That is true.
And why is that?
Well,
Are they cheaper?
Yes, in some ways. Unfortunately, there still is a difference in pay between men and women still happening today. And also, but primarily, women are at a greater rate going on to graduate school than a greater rate than men. And so what we're seeing is that the disparity is happening between the race, the genders, because simply women are trying to be able to compete financially with the men, and they're furthering their education more at a greater rate in order to do that. And so obviously they are making themselves more hireable, especially in this very extremely tight job market, because now employers are finding out they can get more for less, unfortunately. They can get a master's degree person for less money than they would have maybe 5 years ago. So, you know, you're being able to get more, so it's working out for the employer standpoint as well as the female employees.
Hmm. So this trend will continue?
Probably. More than likely, yes. I think it's probably going to continue until at least the job market stables off a little bit more. But as of right now, yes, it's going to be this way for a while.
Also, and as I listened to the audio that we heard, accomplish work goals.
Mm-hmm.
If there is, if you like your coworkers, accomplish work goals. How is that related? Well, I guess it could be related. If you're happy,
accomplish your goals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're happier, you work better. But what about team? The team effort.
Well, all of those things go together. If you like your coworkers, then you're going to have less employee conflicts, which means that the team, if you're working on a team project, you're going to have a better working relationship with your team, which means you're probably going to get the work done a lot faster and a lot less stressful. So that's all related. It's also related in your work goals, as far as if you have a desire to promote within the organization, if you have a desire to you know, have more responsibility. All those things go along. Like I said before, your manager will consider you to be more responsible today simply by the fact that you are spending more time basically enjoying your coworkers, working well with them. They're going to give you more responsibility, and they're going to give you more opportunities to promote. So that's how your company work goals as a result of liking your coworkers.
So well, you say you deal mostly with the management side of it. So what is management in a nutshell, if you can tell me what management is? I mean, I know it's a top, supposedly the top echelon, but what exactly is management? And how does an employee really, you know, recognize or assert its mindset to what it is?
Well, there's two levels. There's two things you have to think about within an organization. There's the top level executive management, and then there's the middle management.
Yeah.
Level. And I deal primarily with the middle management level because they're the ones dealing directly with the employees. They're the ones who are supervising primarily the teams within the departments. And those individuals are basically focused on project-by-project basis. They're trying to get the particular goals of their department accomplished, whereas a top-level executive is more looking more long-range at where this corporation is going. They're steering the ship, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're really looking at more long range. Where are we going to be 10 years, 15 years from now? How are we going to accomplish those goals? Where is our industry going? So they're much more big picture. Whereas the middle management are looking at, how do I get this group of individuals to work together to accomplish the goals for our department so that we can meet the needs and the mission of the company? And so that's what a middle management is going to do.
I was thinking about, when you said that, a basketball team.
Uh-huh. Hopefully we'll get to play. We'll get to watch them now.
Well, they're back. Right, right.
Right.
As you were mentioning that, you were giving that analysis, I was thinking of a basketball team. You have your upper echelon in the head office.
Right.
And you have your coach.
Yes.
Who I guess would be middle management.
Right.
And the basketball players are your employees.
Right.
And it's the effort of the middle management to get them to perform and productivity.
Right. They're looking at the upper echelon of, if you want to use this analogy, of a team is going to say, where, how can we get more, increase our market? How can we get more people to come to the team? What kind of marketing can we do to promote the team? They're looking at all of these different big picture type things. The coach is trying to get the team to work together so they can win championships. That's their job.
Right.
And so everybody has their set particular goals of working together for the entire organization.
So the objective is to accomplish the goals of the corporation, of the company, in order to get paid.
Absolutely. Definitely. Also to meet the needs of the customer, because the customer in this analogy would be the fans.
Right.
And we want to meet their needs. And so the fans crave everything, their favorite basketball stars. They want memorabilia. They want, you know, they want the jerseys. They want hats. They want everything with those people's names on it. And we want to be able to come and see them play at their best. And so it's to come. And it's all about supply and demand. And so the fans demand the team to play well and to win. And if they get what they want, the company gets what they want, because then the fans can continually come and fill the stadiums and things like that. So it's give and take from both sides.
Give and take.
Absolutely.
When we come back, I'll ask you the question now. What is the number one mistake management makes when it comes to, their employees?
Okay.
Some companies will make those mistakes, and we want to find out what that is.
Okay.
This is Ted Terry in the name of Dr. E. Faye Williams. The program is called Celebrating Truth. My guest is Angela Huffman. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you see that doggy in the shelter?
Hi, I'm Buddy, the adorable puppy you adopted from the Humane Society.
Meow. I'm Whiskers, a fluffy kitty, just waiting for someone to love me.
When you adopt a pet, we hope your new furry friend will become a cherished member of your family. And as Buddy and Whiskers will tell you, the key to success is following the rules to love by.
Woof, that's right. Please give me food, water, and exercise every day. To stay healthy, I need the same kind of things you need.
Talk to me. I like hearing your voice.
You're my best friend. Please don't stay mad at me or lock me up as punishment. Remember, I'm probably going to live 10 to 15 years, so take care of me when I get old.
One day you'll need someone to take care of you, too.
A message from the Montgomery County Humane Society. Visit www.mchumane.org for the complete rules to love by.
Be your best friend for life.
This is Timothy Smith, producer of the highly acclaimed documentary, The Cotton Picking Truth, Still on the Plantation. It's available now on DVD at thecottonpickingtruth.com. That's thecottonpickingtruth.com. The film is about May Louise Miller, a former slave until the early 1960s. But it also uncovers a deep, dark secret about the United States today, present-day slavery. Or some may call it involuntary servitude. So please pick up your DVD today or stream it live on your laptop or PC at thecottonpickingtruth.com. That's the DVD, a documentary, The Cotton Picking Truth, Still on the Plantation. Available now at thecottonpickingtruth.com. That's thecottonpickingtruth.com.
Now back to Celebrating Truth with your host, Ted Terry.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. We're talking with Angela Huffman on Celebrating Truth. If you just now joining us, you missed some interesting conversation regarding employee and management in corporate America, not only just in corporate America, but business in general as it relates to work-related environment. Is that a correct analogy, Angela?
That's right.
Oh, good. I'm proud of myself.
You're
we talked about three types of employees. We heard Janet, that was one of the employees that kind of a lackluster attitude towards her job. And Rhonda says she hated her job. I mean, absolutely hated it. I don't want to be here. You should have heard it. If you missed it, you can go to artistfirst.com and listen to Celebrating Truth on the rebroadcast, or download it and play it on your computer. You know, it's some information. Also, Paula, we heard from her, very motivated, like some people I know. And also, why you should like your coworker. Better work performance, increase your job satisfaction. Let's see here. More opportunities, less stress, which I know we can all deal with less of is stress. And accomplishing work goals. Is that right, Angela?
Yes, that's right.
Am I getting it so far?
You are.
Okay.
You're doing a great job.
Let me remind everyone, the program is brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. And by the way, everybody's coming off of a Thanksgiving holiday, and I hope that mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, cousin, and friend were able to get together and enjoy the holiday. And we got Christmas coming up, and then guess what? We have another year that's looking us straight in the face. Mm-hmm. So, but I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Let's work on December. Don't stress yourself out. Please don't do that. And I think that's one of the points we mentioned, right, Angela? Not to stress
right.
out.
Well, try not to, right?
Okay. Now, before we went to the break, I asked you a question. What is the number one mistake that managers make today?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what I believe is one of the mistakes. There's many that I could probably bring up, but I think one of the things I take is that managers take their employees for granted, and I don't think that they necessarily mean to, but I think that they forget that part of their job as managing the employees is to also motivate the employees. You know, there's a book that I love, and it's called Good to Great. And it's called Good to Great. And
oh, Good to Great.
Good to Great. Yes, okay. And it's in the book. He talks about how employees need to get the right employees in the right seats. Basically, like he uses the bus as the analogy, and basically you have to get the right employees in the right seats on the bus. And if they're in the wrong seats, basically if you have a man, basically what you're saying is you have an employee who's in the wrong seat, he may not perform very well. Well, what a manager, a normal average manager might do is just go ahead and terminate the employee rather than trying to find out where else can we place an employee where he will actually be in the right seat within our organization. And I think what a lot of managers do is they don't take the time to really try and find out what's caused an employee to be less productive than maybe they were when they first started working with the organization. They just take the whole responsibility for granted. And so I think you need to be a little bit more in-depth in your role as a manager and in working with your employees.
So do you feel that some managers are in the wrong position to be managers? They're not suited for that job?
Well, in some cases that could be true. I've seen within small organizations, small and middle-sized companies, you might have an employee who started off in one role, and because that employee is with that organization for many years, he gets promoted into a position of management or where he doesn't necessarily have the skills, the tools, or the knowledge of how to manage people, and now he's in a management role now. And so not necessarily he should be in that role because he's been with the organization for a long time. So in that case, yes, sometimes they are in the wrong role. Sometimes management come in, and they're very much like some of the other employees we talked about. They get in a role, and they become less motivated themselves within that position. And so it's not as they don't put forth as much effort into managing the set of employees that they have as they might have done in the past. So
Right. Sometimes
it's a combination of things.
So if I've got a manager who is a name that I won't call,
okay,
a type, and I want to give him some boss feedback, and I want to do it without, you know. So we have a tape. And
all right,
we're going to play that tape, and then we'll come back and talk about how can you give your boss feedback. Roll the tape, Corey.
This is Angela Huffman with Straight Talk About Management. Today, I'm going to help you learn how to give feedback to your boss. Sometimes a corporation will ask their employees to give feedback to the managers, and that is so the manager will be better and will learn and will increase their skills when it comes to leading you. So your feedback is very important, but this is sometimes very intimidating for the employees. So I'm going to help you today learn how to give feedback to your boss. How to give negative feedback. This can be very scary for many employees, giving negative feedback to their boss. And the way we're going to deal with this is dealing with it with possibly two different situations. First of all, what if you're asked to write your negative feedback on a form that's given to you by your corporation? If you have to write your response, make sure you use very specific words. Be very careful about the words you use, because sometimes in writing, those words can be misinterpreted. Your boss may not really understand what it is that you want or what it is that you need from them to improve. So be very clear about what it is that the problem is that you're having with your manager. Next, make sure you don't use any harsh words, because if you write harsh words down, that's all that is being seen. And unfortunately, you won't get the benefit, and neither will your manager, by writing those harsh words. Make sure that you're just clear and professional when you write your response. If you're giving verbal negative feedback to your boss, ask first if you can speak with your boss in his or her office or in a private room. Once you're in that room, make sure you express that you want to improve your relationship. It's important to you to have a better relationship with your boss before you say exactly what it is that you have a problem with. Be specific in whatever it is the problem is. For example, I didn't appreciate it when you reprimanded me today in front of my teammates. I would much more appreciate it if you would bring me into a private area to tell me what I did wrong. That's a very specific thing that your boss knows right then that they can change, and they will get a better result as a result of it. So be specific when you're giving your negative feedback to your boss. Be careful when giving your feedback in anger. Sometimes many people, when they're angry, they use profanity, and that will never be acceptable in any professional setting. So you want to make sure that when you do give feedback, you want the person, your manager, to receive the information. Nobody ever receives information when it's being hurled at them with all these obscenities. So you want to make sure that you get your point across, but be professional when you do it. How to give positive feedback. A lot of employees just completely forget about giving their managers positive feedback, even though they would like to receive positive feedback themselves. Your manager, just like you, needs to hear those words of encouragement. When he or she does something well, for example, they did a rah-rah session, really got the whole team motivated, and they don't do that normally. Tell them right away, you know what, that really helped us. We really got excited. We're now encouraged. Those kind of things help your boss know that they should continue to do those kinds of things. But if they never hear anything from you, you may not ever get that kind of response again, which is something you really enjoyed. So make sure you always give positive feedback as well, and do it immediately. Just like you would like to receive positive feedback when you do something well, so would your boss.
That is, of course, Angela Huffman talking about how to give your boss feedback from a negative standpoint or a positive standpoint, right, Angela?
That's right.
Okay. Now, I thought, let me just say this. Angela, you did a great job.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of you, boss.
Thank you.
So we're getting close to the end of the program, and the time just passed by fairly pretty quickly.
Sure did.
So, you know, as we recap, I'll let you do some of the recapping here, because you're the expert. So, you know, within, you know, take your time, I'll tell you when, but just kind of go over some of the key points that you would want our listening audience to be able to walk away with, and to be able to say, yes, I'm Angela Huffman, and I'll come help you if you need me.
Okay. Well, first of all, what I do primarily is I try to help managers and employees to have better relationships with each other. And so both managers and the employees both have responsibilities on either one of their parts in order to create a better relationship with their manager or with the employees. They have a part to do with that. And so that's why the YouTube videos that I have up and the podcast articles are all written from, kind of written from both standpoints, from the manager's point of view as well as the employee's point of view. As far as managers go, I want to convey to them some of the things they need to do to be better leaders, to communicate better with their employees, to have a better relationship with their employees so they can get what they need from their employees so their employees will be more productive and complete all the work and the projects on time and with accuracy. From the employee standpoint, I want to communicate with them that you can't come to work and be lackluster and have low productivity and expect to get promoted within their organization. You need to be at your top of your game, and you need to work hard at building a relationship within your organization, that building a relationship with your manager as well as building a relationship with your employees, the other employees, your coworkers. So I want to be able to come in and work as a mediator in some way to help manage and improve relations within the organization so that everyone will actually have a better, more productive life at work, be less stressful, and also be more productive. And so that's what I do.
Okay. Now, before you go, I need to ask this question about personal hygiene for the...
Yes.
I had to throw it out there before we go.
Right.
Can absolutely. You speak on personal hygiene, please?
Personal hygiene is extremely important. And I do talk about it. And one of the things I talk about, one of the videos is about how to get promoted. And, you know, I'll talk about your work ethic, making sure your work is produce at a high level of quality, accuracy, and timeliness. But also, one of the things you want to do if you want to get promoted is you have to look at your appearance. And I was always taught when I was in corporate America, way back when I started at American Express, was that you didn't dress for the job you had, but you dress for the job you want. If you want to get promoted, then come in dressed appropriately for that job, not for the one that you have currently. If you want to be in a management position, look around and see how those people are dressed. If they're dressed neatly with shirt and tie and jackets and dress shoes and all those things, you need to dress appropriately. You need to make sure your hygiene is clean, your hair is combed. And I have to say, I'm very harsh in some ways on people who have a lot of tattoos and piercings, things like that. Corporate America hasn't changed, I don't believe, in 60 years. And those things are still considered taboo in most very conservative corporate environments. And so you can't necessarily come with all of the tattoos showing all the way down your arm and up your neck and all that, because that is just not considered appropriate. So you may have to cover up some of those things. I'm not saying you can't get a job. What I'm saying is that, you know, you might have to don a more conservative appearance when you're at work in that work environment.
Well,
especially
let me ask you this.
You're working in an office.
Real quick, is there a more of a vetting process when you're hired now in corporate America, meaning that you have to have a good credit score to get a job?
They do look at credit score. I don't necessarily, and I can't speak for any organization to say that they will not hire you if you have a poor credit score. I'm not going to say that. I wouldn't go that far. But they do look at credit score. It might have to do a lot with the position that you are applying for. If that position requires any kind of fiduciary responsibility, they may want to know if you're very hard up for cash, for example, that, you know, are you going to be tempted, even if you've never had a criminal history in the past, might you be tempted to take from the organization or something like that? So they may look at those kinds of things, and that might go into their thought process as far as what kind of mindset you might be in coming into that organization. It doesn't mean that they won't give you the job. I'm just saying, what kind of things might they be thinking when they're considering you for that position?
I see. Give me your website again.
The website is www.angelahuffman.biz. B-I-Z, and that's Angela Huffman. Huffman is spelled with M-O-N. A lot of people get that one confused. It's Angela Huffman, M-O-N, .biz.
Yep.
And, yes, I'll be more than happy to talk to anyone who's looking for some additional help in helping their organization get on track and be more productive.
Well, with your busy schedule, I'll tell them good luck.
Thanks.
Angela, hold on the phone for a second. Don't hang up.
Okay. Sure.
Folks, you're listening to Celebrating Truth. I'm Ted Terry. Program brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. Don't forget to visit www.nationalcongressbw.org. As I said earlier in the program, there are a number of chapters throughout the country. In New Jersey, there's a number of chapters in New Jersey, Philadelphia, Orlando, Tallahassee, in Detroit, in South Bay, Carson, California, in Los Angeles, California, Wake County, North Carolina, Prince William, Virginia, Louisiana, San Francisco, Riverside, California. That's just to name a few. So that's to let you know that this is a progressive organization that is growing by leaps and bounds. So we invite you to be a part of the National Congress of Black Women. Time's running out. Dr. Williams will be back next week. This is Ted Terry. Bless you.